नमः विष्णु पराय कृष्ण प्रसाद बुद्ध देव श्रीमणि भक्त वेदांत स्वामी नीति नामने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवी गौरवाणी प्रचारने निर्विशेष शून्यवाणी पाश्चात्य सुधारणी श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु निचानंद श्री द्वैत गदाधर शिव श्री गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे सो टुडे We will discuss, after the birth, the first Leela of Krishna. That is the killing of Putana. We'll see in these Leelas, even in the Leelas in Vraja, we'll find, even though it's considered very sweet, we will see there are displays of Aishwarya, or power, of Krishna. Even though he's just a little child, he will display these powers. So we'll see he kills so many demons. And even in his first year, he kills Putana and Trinavarta and Sakatasura, etc. And then he goes on and he kills Bakasura, Agasura, and so many other demons. And a lot of the pastimes involve this, actually. Not everything, but these things are mentioned. So these are not the only pastimes, of course. Those are the display of his Aishwarya. So this is also the display of his sweetness as well. Sometimes the pastimes are not so, let's say, extraordinary. It's just like Krishna playing with the cowherd boys or Krishna playing with the cows and things like this. But those descriptions are also there in the Bhagavatam. And then, of course, there are leelas like breaking of the pot, etc. So, and so this, there's a, both types of pastimes are described. However, these, even though killing the demons is a display of power, which is a little bit contrary to the mood of sweetness, nevertheless, they also have a function in that they actually display the great power of the sweetness of the love of the inhabitants of Raja. Because in spite of the power that Krishna displays, the sweetness hides it. So they don't recognize Krishna as God. And he displays himself as God, he's all powerful through killing the demons, but the sweetness of their love is such that they never think about it, that this is God. They have some excuse for understanding he's not God, he's their son. So that displays the great power of their love. So in that case, it is not a display of yoga maya covering their, you know, their consciousness. It's simply a display of the intensity of their prema, that they will not see the Aishwarya aspect of Krishna and think he's God. So the after Krishna is born, of course, Nandi celebrates his birth and everything. And goes to meet Vasudeva also. And Vasudeva doesn't reveal that actually it's my son. Doesn't say that. He hides that. And he goes back. But actually when Vasudeva comes back with the cowherd men, then he sees that actually Krishna has already killed a big demon. When he comes back, they find that Putana is lying there dead. So he was just a new baby. Actually, when this first incident took place, I don't know, maybe a few days old or something. So, Krishna was very, very young when this happened. So, of course, Putana was sent by Kamsa, and she's called a Rakshasi, and Rakshasis have great powers, so they can change their form at will. Rakshasis are actually part of the, it's a female Rakshasa actually. Rakshasas and Rakshasis are inhabitants of Bhuvarloka, which is just above us. And there, that's the place where all different entities, subtle entities reside, like Gandharvas and ghosts and Rakshasas and other beings. There's a big list in the Bhagavatam of the different creatures that reside there. But they all have great powers, more than we have. So the Rakshasis are also considered powerful, and then they can do these mystical things. They're also quite famous because generally these are the Rakshasas are the ones that eat people. they're man eaters or baby eaters or whatever. They like to eat human flesh and drink their blood. So actually, at the end of that chapter, sixth chapter, she's described as Rudrasana, I think it is, yeah? One who drinks blood. So anyway, she's a Rakshasi, very evil creature. And she was sent by Kamsa. And she disguised herself in a very beautiful form. So beautiful that the inhabitants of Raja could not recognize her. Huh? But we cannot say that they were ignorant also. So this is where the Yoga Maya comes in. Krishna hid the fact that she was a Rakshasa from them. If they were in their ordinary consciousness, they would immediately see this is a material person here. But due to Yoga Maya, they didn't see that, and they simply saw her as a beautiful woman and thought, oh, maybe this is Lakshmi herself. She's so beautiful. And therefore, they let her in the house. And normally, they wouldn't let her in the house, but she could go in any house she wanted to in Raja. And finally, she came to Yasoda's house, and Yasoda and Rohini let her in the house, just like that, even though she's a stranger. What? Because they were impressed. She's so beautiful. She must be Lakshmi. She's a devata or something come here. She had somehow some power, and they were thinking like that. So therefore they let her in. So this, of course, is again Krishna's will that happened. Otherwise, he doesn't have to allow this at all, but for his pastimes, he did this. So then she picked up Krishna, and she had poison on her breast, and she fed Krishna her milk, and then Krishna sucked her life air out. Instead of sucking the milk or the poison, he actually sucked out her life air. So in this and in other stories like the Trinavarta story and Sakadasura, this is a display of Krishna's power. So what was Krishna's power here? His mouth. With his mouth, he held onto her nipple and he wouldn't let go. And she was screaming and yelling and whatever. And then she was her life air was going out, and then she turned back into her big Rakshasa form and she ran out of the house and she flopped over dead. And still, Krishna wouldn't let go. she was trying to pull him away, and he was kicking and holding on like this. And his feet were, you know, kicking her and her like this. So she got the touch of his lotus feet, but in rather negatively. She didn't want it. She was trying to avoid him and get him away, but he was holding on like this with his mouth. So this displays the power of Krishna's mouth. Later we'll see that when Trinavarta comes, then Trinavarta takes Krishna away, and because of course first he's very heavy, so Mother Yasoda puts him down, and she can't figure out why he's got so heavy suddenly, even his little boy. Huh? She couldn't hold him, and she puts him down, and then Trinavarta picks him up, and he's very light, and so he flies up in the sky with him, but then Krishna becomes very heavy again, and then he can't. Krishna won't let go of him. He's holding onto his neck like this. And he's trying to get free, but he can't because Krishna's arms are so powerful. And then Krishna becomes very heavy, and then Trinavarta falls and smashes himself on the rocks. So that's the display of Krishna's hands. And then we see with Sakatasura, Krishna's little feet kick up in the air, and suddenly the cart breaks and the Sakatasura gets killed. So there's a display of his little feet being very, very powerful. So though he's got a little body like a little baby, he has immense powers. Without any effort, with that little body, he can do, you know, immense things. So this is a display of his powers in different ways, with his feet, his hands, and his mouth. So therefore, Krishna did this. He just held on and kept sucking and sucking, and her life wear went up. And then she ran out of the house, and she expanded her form, and she crashed over. The remarkable thing about getting, when she fell, she didn't hit any of the houses in Vraja, but she hit the trees. But actually, these were the trees of Kamsa, and that was his forest. So it didn't display any, it didn't destroy any of the Vraja. She couldn't destroy it. So when she ran out, and then she fell on Kamsa's forest, his garden, and destroyed his garden instead. So in that way, she left her body. And Krishna was still there. And he was holding on to her. So when everyone, Mother Yasoda and Rohini fainted, of course, and everyone else came running, all the women came running, and then because they heard all this noise, and they heard this Rakshasi screaming, And then they saw this huge body there when they came out of the house, and they looked around and they saw Krishna playing on top of Uttana. And they were astonished, how could this happen? Who was this person? Whatever like that. Anyway, they wanted to protect Krishna because they thought some, evil influence was there. So then they chanted mantras, etc., and purified themselves. And actually, all the men were still not there. They were all in visiting Vasudeva, and then they came back. And so when they came back, then they saw this huge monster there lying on the ground, like 7 miles long. And then they understood, because Vasudeva told them, you better return quickly. Because he was hinting that, Kamsa is going to come and try to kill Krishna, who was actually his son. Because he was thinking, this is my son, and I put him here, but then Kamsa is going to go out and try to look for, he's suspicious. So he'll look and try to kill him. So he said, you return quickly to Raja. So when they came back, and then they realized, yes, what Vasudeva said is true. Yeah, that actually there's something very bad is going to happen. He knew the future. And then they were, thankful that Krishna had been protected. So the one interesting point about this story comes at the end, or just before the cowherd men return. And that is when Putana ends up dead. And then the Bhagavatam describes that actually, though she was a Rakshasi, and she wanted to kill Krishna, and she wanted to drink blood, she had very bad intentions, she attained Sadgutim. In other words, she didn't go to hell and she didn't get another birth in the material world. Sadgati means like eternal goal or whatever, or the high spiritual goal or whatever. So that is very, very astonishing how, because she was a demon, she could get that type of goal. And then a few verses later, again, it describes that she actually got, she became Janani, which means like a mother. A mother. Later on, Uddhava also says Datri, which means a nurse. So the conclusion of the Acharya is actually she couldn't be a mother because she couldn't be not Mother Yasoda, obviously, because Mother Yasoda is eternal. She could be like a mother in some sense, but not the real mother. So therefore, they take that Janani there, and she's only Datri, she's like a nurse. But even then, the Acharyas say that even she's not a direct nurse, and she could never directly come to Krishna in this way. She resides in another place called Goloka, not Gokul, but Goloka, which is filled with awe and reverence. Krishna is there, but it's full of awe and reverence. And she resides there. And she can worship Krishna in reverence, but she cannot directly associate as the Mother Yasoda or the inhabitants of Raja associate with Krishna. There's an interesting verse, actually. Maybe I'll put it up here. So, that first verse is this guy's Putana, a killer of children, local ball of Guinea. And she's a Rakshasi, and she likes to drink blood, Rudyarasana. And she wanted to kill Krishna. But she got Sadgatim, having offered Krishna her breast. Offered to Krishna her breast with the desire to kill him, she got the highest goal, which sounds like a big contradiction, because then only the devotees get that. So then it says, Kim Puna, Shraddhaya Bhaktya Krishnaya Paramatmane. Kim Puna is analyzed as an expression, if that is so, then what to speak of? Can we say that, Or if this is so, then how much more if this? If the suitors can attain Krishna, how much more of the Brahmins could attain Krishna? It's like in the Bhagavad Gita, it says that in chapter 9. So the Brahmins and the Kshatriyas, what will they attain if even Krishna says the Sudras and the Vaishyas can attain the highest goal like that? So how much more? If this is so, she can attain that goal, then how much more others could attain the goal? So in other words, they get much more than whatever she got. So that's called Kimuta Nyaya. It's a kind of a poetic convention they have, Kim Uda, Kim Puna. How much more? If this is so, then there's so much more for someone else.
So this is actually what is expressed here. And actually Vishnu Chakravarti takes this Simpuna analogy for all aspects of this Leela. So if Putana, who was a Rakshasi, got this, how much more anyone else would get? So if one were not wanting to kill Krishna, were just neutral, not a devotee even, then they would get something more. And if they're actually favorable to Krishna, with Shraddha, with faith, then they should get more than that. And if they're, of course, they have mixed bhakti, of course, they would get more than that. And if they had ananya bhakti, they would get more than that. And if they had achieved prema, then how much more they must have got. So if one may have various degrees of unfavorableness or favorableness to Krishna. So if she got that goal, how much more people who are favorable to Krishna must get ultimately? And how much more the Nityasiddhas who have perfect devotion and prema, how much they must get? So we cannot say they got exactly the same goal. Even though it says they got similar, you know, she became like a mother. We can never say that they're actually the same. So that is one of the kimutas, how much more. However, there's a few other things. So that kimuta, or how much more in terms of the faith or the attitude towards Krishna. That's one thing. Then, what's the other one now? Okay, so the other kimota is, if we offer to the Lord in any form, then it's good. And of course this is the case with her. But if we have the source of the avatars, avatari, that is Krishna, then how much more that person should get if actually they offer in any form. If they're a rakshasa, okay, that's fine. But if they're a devotee and they offer to another form of God, what they would get. But if they offer to Krishna, then how much more they will get? To the avatar, if they offer to the avatari, how much more they will get? So that is, in other words, the vishaya. Vishaya means the object. In rasa we have asraya and vishaya. Anyone study nectar devotion, yeah? So we have asraya and vishaya. Asraya is the person who has experienced the rasa, and the vishaya is the object of love. The object can be anything. In the material world, we have material objects. And then we have spiritual objects, any form of God. So that could be Rama or any avatar form, or it can also be Krishna. So the others are avatar forms, and Krishna is avatari form. So if one takes Krishna, then who's avatari, then if you worship him, you must get a bigger result, because he's the source of everything else. So there must be something much more if we offer to the avatari, that vishaya. So, then, in terms of the offering itself, what we could offer, Putana offered poison, which is not very nice. And she got shadgati, she got something from that, she became a nurse. So if we were to offer something which isn't harmful to Krishna, that would be better. And if we offer something that Krishna really likes, something pleasing to Krishna, that would even be better. So that was this Priyatama. If we offer what is the most pleasing to Krishna, the most dear thing to Krishna, what he most likes, what we would get then. So in terms of the offering also, there is this kimut, how much more. So if she offered poison, she got that. If we offer love to Krishna, pure love to Krishna, how much more we should get? Or if the cows offer their milk to Krishna, and Krishna likes to drink the milk, what goal they should get? Or if the mothers, not Yasoda, but the other gopis, elder gopis, they wanted to have Krishna as their son, and then Krishna incarnated, or he became all the cowherd boys for 1 year. And in that sense, he drank all their milk. And he was relishing that. So how much more they should get? Because Krishna relished. They offered to Krishna and Krishna relished it. So how much more they should get than having someone offer poison? So this is something that Krishna really liked. So they should get much more. So that's the offering. And then there is the Astraya. So Putana was a Rakshasi who was unfavorable and she didn't have any bhakti. She hated Krishna and she was actually a big Rakshasi with a terrible form, material form, etc. And she got a body of a nurse in the spiritual world. So if one is Rakta means one who is actually in prema to the Lord. If the Asraya, the person who's offering, has prema, then they must get much more. So then who are the people with prema? The people of prema are all the gopis and the elder gopis who are taking Krishna as their son. So they must get something much different. And of all those gopis, Mother Yasoda is supreme because she got Krishna as her own son. All the other gopis said, we would like to have Krishna as our son also. But actually the great privilege was given to Mother Yasoda. She is the one that got to keep him in her house and feed him every day. Others could do, but it was like they were secondary. So then Mother Yasoda is the number one Rakta, one who had prema. She's outstanding in her prema. So she must have got something completely different. So therefore, Putana could not have become that type of janani, that type of mother. Nevertheless, all of this is stated to show one how merciful Krishna is, that he gives a semblance at least of something very wonderful even to this demon who was trying to kill him, because she acted like a mother, therefore she became like a mother in one sense in the spiritual world. So therefore Krishna was very merciful. So this is one aspect of Krishna. The first day I pointed out that generally it's according to our sadhana we get. If you're a surya, you don't get anything, you go to hell. And if you're favorable, then you get something. And if you have ananya bhakti, then you get prema. And if you get different types of prema, and if you have different relationships, you get dasya, sakya, etc. So that's the normal process. She didn't have anything because she was a demon. But she got to the spiritual world. She developed a relationship with Krishna as a nurse, though it was a little distant in Aishwarya. So this is an exception. So this happens with Krishna. It does not happen with any other form of God. This is the avatari. This is Krishna. So he's so merciful that he will do extraordinary things like this. This is one of his qualities. He will deliver these demons and put them in a position in the spiritual world in spite of their bad qualities or whatever. But he has a reason. He has some sort of reason for doing that. It's his will and he can do so. So this is one of his glorifications. It's all gone. Yeah. No, not anymore. But that's indicated by the fact that when they went to burn her body, it didn't smell. It smells fragrant. Everyone was astonished. Generally, it is very inauspicious to get the smoke from the burning body. Not like it smells bad, but it's just inauspicious to touch it or anything. But when they burned her body, it was fragrant. It had a very attractive fragrance to it. So, which means, in other words, when it got touched by Krishna, it was transformed, purified by Krishna's touch. Doesn't say. I would assume not. I don't know. It doesn't say, but I would assume she would be put in that position. It's a mercy case, so she would get stuck in that position. And that's enough. Krishna would say, that's enough. Yeah, it's I think it's 30-something, 36 or something, 35 and 36, or 36 and 37, like that. It's near the end of the chapter. It's about four verses from the end of chapter 6 of the 10th canto.
So this might be the verse that Pundarika Vidyanidhi was listening to by Mukunda, when Gadadhar Prabhu and Mukunda visited Pundarika Vidyanidhi. Pundarika Vidyanidhi was very dear to Lord Chaitanya, and he looked like a person who was very materially attached.
Yeah, because he was sitting in a couch and had a spittoon and all this.
Full opulent, oil in his hair and all that. And Gadadhara Pandit thought that maybe something wrong here. And then Mukunda Prabhu, he started to recite this verse. And then all the ecstatic symptoms were manifested. Tear down the whole.
There's a different verse.
There's another verse.
Oh, I see.
Ahobakiyan stana kalakutam.
Yeah. A different verse, similar intent, but I think that's later on. I think it's that later verse. So, anyway, she got that very, very exalted goal as an extraordinary act of mercy of Krishna. So this is one of his great qualities that he will do this. And then in verse 38 and 37 and 38, that was 35 and 6, right? So then in 37 and 38, there Sukadeva Goswami says that those feet are actually worshipped by people like Shiva and Brahma, Krishna's feet. But actually they can't even attain those feet. But what happened to her is she didn't aspire for those feet. She didn't want those feet. She was trying to get rid of Krishna and take him away. And Krishna was kind of kicking her like this. So, like forcibly. So it wasn't that willingly she got the touch of Krishna's feet at all. She didn't want it at all. She was trying to push Krishna away. It was the opposite. And everyone else is aspiring for Krishna's feet and they can't get it. And she got it. She didn't want it. But Krishna was so merciful that anyway, he gave her this great reward. So something very, very remarkable. So she got Goloka. This is not explained in the verses, but Vishwanath Chakravarti says she got Goloka, and that Goloka is filled with Sukha and Aishwarya. That is, there's awe and reverence and a sense of happiness, similar to what the people who have Sakama Bhakti get. They also get Sukha Aishwarya place. So she got Krishna, because Krishna is there, but it's a mode of reverence and respect for Krishna. And she was a nurse, and she didn't directly feed Krishna or anything like that, but she was assisting in that form. So she didn't get the same as the people of Raja or anyone who has that same mood. She didn't get the same thing, but she got something. So that's the mercy of Krishna. So that's the import of that pastime. So by this it shows his mercy to Putana, and actually it shows Krishna's great exaltation of his devotee, because Putana gets this, how much more the devotee gets. So it emphasizes the greatness of the love of Mother Yasoda and the elderly gopis in relation to Krishna, take him as her, as their sons and son.
So I heard that he got his special.
He got the rupiah.
Just because he was brother of Krishna.
I don't know the actual reason, but he got the rupiah. Anyway, he got the rupiah. Which means a similar form. So it looks like he got a Vishnu form or something in the spiritual world also. Another act of mercy. Yeah. That was also astonishing. And the devatas, when they saw that, they were shocked. Because, of course, they didn't see the Sarupya, but what they saw is that when Agasura was killed, then there was this small light came out of the body, a form, and then emerged into Krishna. But then a few verses later, it's like the idea of Sarupya. So he merged into Krishna, but then he got his Sarupya. So he didn't get Sayujya. He got Sarupya, actually. But that was when the devatas saw that, they were also shocked. Said, how can he get Sarupya or Salokya even, or Sayujya or anything? Because the Gyanis and other people, the yogis, are trying to get this. And they do all tapasya and everything. Here's this Agasura trying to kill Krishna, and then he gets this. So they were rather shocked when they saw that. And Brahma also was shocked. That's why he came down. And when he came down, then the other pastime of the Brahma Mohana Lila took place. And then Krishna bewildered him also. that's one of the qualities of, when we take the qualities of God, one of the qualities of God is he liberates even the demons. That's one of his remarkable qualities, and that's particularly so in Krishna's case. And not only gives Sayuja, he also gives us other things like Salokya and Sarupya, etc. So quite remarkable. Another story related to this, we can't cover all the stories, but another one is the Namkarna, which is interesting. That's when Krishna got his name. And then at that time, Nanda called Garga Muni secretly to the place, because if Kamsa found out that Garga Muni is coming over there, and he'd be very suspicious. Why is he going to the farm community? He should be back with the Yadus. Why is he going there? And then he'd get real suspicious, and then find out that actually Vasudev's child had come there. So it was all done very secretly. He called him secretly, and for the naming of his children. And he took actually Balarama as his own son also. So then Garga Muni named Balaram as Shankarshan, etc. But he couldn't also reveal that actually this Balaram was taken from Vasudeva's womb, from Devaki's womb, and put in Rohini's womb. Because that's another derivation of the name Shankarshan, means to be pulled out, transferred from the womb, one womb to the other. So that's why he got the name. But then he said he's called Shankarshan because he will pull the two families together, that is, the Yadus and the cowherd men. He will unite these two families, because even though he was born there, and he will do some things which will pull the families together and make them friends. So that was his explanation for that name. So, and then he comes to Krishna's name. And then there's the famous verse that he will appear, and he comes in on a yuga, every yuga, successive yuga, he comes in white, red, yellow. Now he's come as Krishnatamgata, as Krishna. So when he says this, what he means is not that he's the yuga in one sense. He can't say this to Nanda, that your son is the yuga avatar. Because he has to hide the fact that, you know, he was born to Vasudeva and he appeared in his forearm portal. He can't say that. So what it means is actually your son has, he's a Mahapurusha, a great personality who's, by worshipping these forms, has got similarity to them in the different yuga cycles. You know, in each yuga he's done this. He's worshipped the white form and got similarity to him. He's worshipped the red form and got similarity to that, etc. So that's one meaning of the verse. Because later on he says he's Narayan Sama also. He's like Narayan also. And then whenever you, you should protect him very nicely, and he will protect you. He doesn't say directly he's God. It's like he's trying to hint at it, but he doesn't say it exactly. And therefore, Nanda Maharaj also doesn't pick up that he is God. He thinks he's only a great personality, and Narayan is protecting him or entering into him and helping him. A very special personality. However, there is, if we can take those words, we can get another meaning out of it. The exact words, I don't think they're... Oh, they are here. It's in this thing here. Asan varnastrayo kyasya grinato nu yugam tanu sukla raktastapita idani krishnatam gataha. So, the other meaning is that in the different yugas, the Lord appears in these different colors. And when Krishna appears, Krishna is the actual Amsi. He is the source of everything else. These are all Amsas. And Krishna Ta means Krishna, but it means, when you say Ta, it gives it a special significance. So he is actually the source of everything else. All these other forms appear in other yugas, but when Krishna appears, everything appears with him. And he is their source. And when Krishna appears, then all of his other amsas appear within him also. That's one meaning of the verse. However, we know later on from the 11th canto, there's discussed that in different yugas we have different colors. We have Satya Yuga has white, Treta Yuga has red, Dwapara Yuga has Shama, and Kali Yuga has Krishna. So these colors don't match. So it's a little peculiar. Huh? You would come in white, red, and yellow, and now you're coming in black form. That doesn't make sense at all, because Krishna appears in Dwarpa Yuga, and it's only two previous yugas. And so it's a little strange that it's like this. And we also get Pitta form here instead of Krishna. It would be Krishna form. And then Krishna should be Shama. So it doesn't quite correspond. Pitta is yellow, which is Lord Chaitanya, which is also there in Krishna Varantisha Akrishnam. He's not the color of Krishna, but he is like Krishna, or he is Krishna, but in a different color. And so it's a little bit esoteric. But here directly says Pitta. So, the esoteric way of explaining all this, this is Vishwanath's explanation, is that he takes the word tata, this is explained here, it's a little technical, but he takes the word tata, usually tata comes with yata, as this is so, so this is so, yata, so tata, like that. Yeah. As like this, so like this, like this. So even if the yata is not there, we should understand it also. Yata and tata. This is explained in the next page here. That's in the third paragraph. Just as in Dwarpa Yuga, all of the forms appear within Krishna, so in Kali Yuga, all the forms will appear within the yellow form of Lord Chaitanya. So in other words, both are Amsi. Both are the original source. So Yata, just as Krishna, everything is in Krishna, all these different forms, so as when the Pitta avatar comes, everything will be in him. So therefore the Pitta is not mentioned here as in a sequence, but as with Krishna, as with Pitta form, as with Krishna, as with Lord Chaitanya, all the other forms will also appear within him. So that's the other esoteric explanation of this verse. So in other words, it points out that Lord Chaitanya is also non-different from Krishna, and he's also the source of everything. So he's not also avatar in the normal, we say Yuga avatar, but actually he's more than that. He is the source of all the avatars, because he's directly Krishna. So this, of course, is a little secret. Garga Muni gave this verse, and of course it has all these layers of meaning in it. So the one he was presenting for Nanda was that actually your son is a very great personality, and he's protected by Narayan. So later he says he is Narayan Sama. He is like Narayan. But even that has another connotation. By the construction of the Sanskrit words, it can mean that actually he's Narayan is like him, and he's actually superior to Narayan. Narayan has a similarity to Krishna. And so actually Krishna is superior to Narayan. So that's another esoteric meaning of Narayan Sama. But of course the normal way is he's kind of like Narayan, and it puts him in an inferior position, and Narayan is his protector or whatever. But the other way of taking it is actually Krishna is superior to him, and that Narayan is his Amsa. So in this way, Garga Muni gave a few hints, esoteric hints, about the nature of Krishna. But directly to Nanda Maharaj, he told him to protect his son. Later on, Krishna would protect them. So we'll see throughout the different leelas, Krishna kills the different demons, and then he lifts Govardhan Hill. So all through this, and they all remember, oh yes, Krishna's very extraordinary, because as Garga Muni said, we protected him, and now he's protecting us. And Narayan is helping us all the time. So even though he does great things, their affection covers up any idea that he is God. Okay. Question now.
In general, they declare he's good because sometimes in Srimad Bhagavatam he says different times when you say who is to the world, like how many of them are not there of the universe.
Oh yeah. And even the gopis. They will say, oh, you are Paramatma, this and that. So the explanation of that is in their bhava, in their ecstatic symptoms. Sometimes these realizations will appear as part of their anxiety or whatever. And they will see him as God. But then again, it will disappear. There will be a momentary realization in their certain types of ecstasy, particularly in separation. When they're separated from Krishna, then these different symptoms will come out, and they'll think of him as God, but then later on it will all disappear again. So like it's temporary. Even Mother Yasoda, in this pastime here, Vishwarup Darshan, actually Krishna does this twice, right, once after this, and then again he does it again. Two times he shows himself as Vishwarupa. And to some degree, yes, Mother Yasoda realizes, oh, yeah, this is the universal form. So she has a momentary idea, but then she says, cannot be. It is impossible. And then she just makes up some other story. It must be I'm dreaming, or it must be I'm... And then finally she concludes, well, it must be some people, spirits around here doing something to me, so I got this illusion coming on. So therefore she calls the Brahmins and they do some, you know, yagyas. So always their love is such that they will find some excuse. They'll have a realization and then they'll cover it up. Same with the cowherd men when they see Krishna doing all these things, and they'll think, after it happened so many times, then they began to think, you know, maybe he is God. And then when Varuna stole Nanda Maharaj, and then Krishna went down in the water and got him, and then Varuna began to pay his respects to Krishna. And all the people there were in reverence and saying, oh, you're the Supreme Lord and everything. And Ananda Maharaj saw that. Then he came back and he told all the cowherd men this, and they began to wonder, like, it puzzled them for a long time. But then again, covered up. So that's the intensity of their love.
Why Krishna deserves that?
Oh, it's a test of the. It's a test of their love, actually. I think in the next thing, there's a whole quotation here. Oh, this is as a test to show their prema. And their prema always overcomes that. He'll do it, and then their prema will overcome it. So that's to show the greatness of their love. We see with Devaki and Vasudeva, it didn't happen. They could see him as God. And they appreciated it also. But Nanda Yasoda, those people, no, I cannot see him as God. And he would say, oh, here I am as God. No, I cannot accept it. Covered over. So that means that the greatness of their love for Krishna is stronger than anything he can do to say otherwise or show himself otherwise. They're completely covered up with their love. So it glorifies their love, actually. And it displays to the world how great is their love. How? How? Well, it's all up to Krishna, of course. When we say extraordinary mercy, you know, we say causeless mercy. Even in the case of we say we get, you know, Kripa Siddhi, that we cannot explain why a person gets it, because normally we have to go to sadhana, you know, and you become qualified. And then sometimes Krishna does it. We cannot explain. It's up to Krishna. In the case of Putana, the exact one reason, of course, is because she acted like a mother anyway, and she offered her milk to Krishna even if it was bad intentions. Therefore, he was merciful because of that. There's, I think, another story also that she actually desired Krishna to be her son also. She was the sister of Bali Maharaj, I think, something like that. And she had some slight feeling that, oh, this when Vamana was born, that, oh, I would like to have him as my son. So because of that, maybe. That's not mentioned here, but I've heard that story also.
The mercy of Krishna, banging foot on foot.
Yeah. Yeah. But of course, that was they weren't rakshasas, or they were still devotees. Yeah. And of course, Nityananda kicked, I think, Shivananda Sen, and he took it as an act of mercy also. But they were all devotees. Huh? But this is a rakshasi, and she didn't like it at all. And she was trying to get away from Krishna, and he was there. So she forcibly got the mercy of Krishna, even though he's just a little boy, a little baby. So such stories will very, very wonderful. They show the mercy of Krishna, and they show the greatness of the devotee's love. I wonder if I can do the next one. And again. Okay. Then, the story of Krishna eating dirt. Actually, this occurs twice. The story that he shows that she looks in his mouth and sees the universal form. One in more detail. One is at the end of the chapter, and then next few chapters later comes up again. So anyway, this is again a display of Krishna's Aishwarya. This time, not with the demons. Krishna voluntarily does it to Mother Yasoda. With the demons, then he kills the demon, and that shows his Aishwarya. He doesn't kill any demons at all, but he shows his power by showing himself as containing the whole universe. And so the whole pretext is that this is when Krishna was a little older, because the other, they're doing their Sakya playing, you know, together, the cowherd boys. So they began to tease Krishna and say that Krishna's eaten dirt, and then Krishna said, no, I didn't, and these boys are just trying to get me in trouble. So then Mother Yasoda was thinking, well, you know, my son's pretty naughty and he tells lies sometimes, so I probably did eat the dirt. So then Krishna said, no, you then look in my mouth. No, I didn't take any dirt. So then she looked in his mouth, and then she saw everything inside, all the planetary systems were there, all the devatas were there, all the material elements were there, all the stars and the planetary system, everything was inside. And she even saw herself, and she saw Vrindavan in there, she saw Krishna in there, saw everything inside there. And she even saw herself looking in Krishna's mouth in there. So it was like a very shocking thing. And then she thought, oh, yeah, the whole universe is inside Krishna. And she realized that. But then she looked away. And then she began to consider, maybe I fell asleep and I had a dream. I'm not dreaming. I didn't fall asleep. You know, maybe I had a hallucination due to some reason. But no, I don't have any. I'm not a mad person. You know, I don't have any. You know, I'm not schizophrenic or something. I don't have any madness. And she went through everything. You know, no. I can't do this. Huh? And then she concluded it must be some, you know, demons around here, you know, causing trouble or something like that. So then she went and called the Brahmins and had them, you know, do some sacrifices and things to drive the demons away and protect Krishna. Maybe they're, you know, someone is trying to affect Krishna. So, actually, in this story, one other thing. When Krishna kills the demons, you know, so the Bhagavad says Krishna killed the demon. But then the explanation is actually he didn't kill the demon exactly. It was his shaktis that did it. Yeah? So he's got his sanghar shakti, his shakti of destruction. So Krishna doesn't have to do anything. His servant does it. And he says it's like saying the axe cuts the tree, or the man cuts the tree, or the axe cuts the tree. Which is it? It's kind of the axe cutting the tree, but actually it's the man behind the axe cutting the tree. So he said axe cuts the tree, but actually the man is also involved in it. Or we can say the man cuts the tree, but then of course the axe is also involved there. So when you say that Krishna kills it, he does it, but he's doing it through his energy, his shakti. So his shakti does it, not Krishna directly. So Krishna remains a little bit distant, and he doesn't involve in the killing. So his shaktis do the killing with the demons. By his will, of course. So anyway, the Shaktis are involved in his pastimes. There's the Lila Shakti, the Yogamaya Shakti, the Sanghar Shakti of destruction. Huh? And they all get involved, and they sometimes they compete to see who can do more also. Huh? And sometimes they'll do it without, when they detect a little bit of desire in Krishna for something, then they just do it. Yeah? They start acting just to please Krishna, you know, and make arrangements for him. So, therefore, in this case, he manifested this through his Aishwarya Shakti, his power of, let's say, his power of greatness, which is, Aishwarya means, comes from Ishvara. Ishvara means Lord. So when you show, when Krishna shows the universal form, then he demonstrates his power as God. When Krishna displays the universal form to Arjuna, Arjuna said, "I want to see your, you know, your vibhutis and your powers, because you're Param Brahma, you are God, etc. So you show all your powers to me, to show how you are God, and how all these powers are in you." Yeah? So that's basically what Vishwarupa is, a display of the powers of God. So this is God, and he has all these things in him. He's the creator of everything. Everything rests within him. So, therefore, when Krishna showed this all this to Mother Yasoda, again, it is a statement, "I am the Supreme Lord. Everything is within me." So it is similar to that Vishwarupa that Krishna showed Arjuna also, on a smaller form, because it's baby Krishna. But it's all the more astonishing because it's done without her consent or her wish, and it's also in this little form of a baby, which makes it more astonishing. So then Krishna's Aishwarya Shakti took hold and displayed all of this remarkable form, and then she saw it. Let's see here. There's an interesting theory in part 43. There's a little commentary here which is very interesting. For a moment, she began to become very detached. And she became like a gyani. And then she thought, when she saw all that grandeur, etc. And then she thought, maybe I should just give up everything and become, you know, like a yogi or something like that, become detached from everything. But then when she thought like that, then Krishna got a little worried. Then what's going to happen to my, I won't have a mother anymore. She starts becoming like this, and becoming detached, and becoming a gyani. So then immediately, he couldn't allow this to happen anymore. Then suddenly her affection came back because of that, because he got so worried that he allowed her affection to appear again, and then she resumed her normal feature as a mother, and then she just rejected that form completely. So this is some aspect of his Leela. So her she was blinded by her love. This is not Yoga Maya taking away the vision or anything and just seeing the sun. This is her love, which will exclude this other vision. It's also real. Krishna displayed it, and then it was taken away. But it was not taken away by Yoga Maya. It was taken away by her prema. Her love of Krishna took it away. She could not allow it to happen. So in this way, Krishna glorifies Mother Yasoda in showing that her love is so great that even he displays this form, she doesn't accept it and cannot accept it. Spontaneously, it will disappear because of her great love. We see in the case of Arjuna, he requested to see the form. He saw the form, First he saw the universal form, then he saw the ferocious form, which was killing all the soldiers and devouring all the soldiers. And at that time he said, oh, I don't want to see this form anymore. Then you come back to your other form. But even after that, he was still respectful, we say. And he said, oh, now, please forgive me. Because I was, you know, treating you as a friend, and I was calling, oh, Krishna, oh, my friend, and I was sitting on the same seat with you and joking with you and sometimes even making fun of you. So you please forgive me for all of this. Yeah? So he remained, had, even though he was friend, Sakha, still that memory of the universal form of Krishna as God remained. But for Yasoda, it did not remain. Completely wiped out. She's not thinking, oh, this my son is God also. No, her prema was so strong that immediately for God. So this illustrates, Krishna did this to illustrate her great love. Greater than Arjuna's love. Completely for God. Her prema would not allow it to happen. In relation to this, the story of the there's the story of how they were how Mother Yasoda and Nanda got this, and so then Parikshit, Sukadev Goswami says previously they were Dara and Droni, and they were meditating on the Lord. They wanted to have the Lord as a son, so therefore they became, you know, Nanda and Yasoda. But this doesn't seem proper also, because they're not sadhana siddhas, they're eternal. So actually Parikshit also wasn't very satisfied with that answer. So later on then the story is told about the Damodar Leela, and by that Sukadeva is indicating actually Mother Yasoda and Nanda, they are the eternal parents of Krishna. There's no such thing as having practice. So when he tells this story, actually again, as in the case of Sutapa and Prishni, these are amsas only. And amsas of Yasoda and Nanda, the expansions, expanded forms. They're not actual Nanda and Yasoda, they're expansions of them. And then when Nanda and Yasoda appear with Krishna, then they merge into back into the original forms again. So there's no question of sadhana at all for Nanda and Yasoda. They're eternally the parents of Krishna. Okay, Krishna. Vishwarupa? Same. Sakya. Well, there's two things there. In general, it is. Also, Arjuna's Sakya Rasa is also mixed with Aishwarya. It's not Raja Sakya. In other words, there's also associates in Raja, that is the cowherd boys, that is also Sakya Rasa, but it is different from Arjuna's. It is much greater. It is mixed with Madhurya. And there's no, and that prema of where they carry Krishna on their shoulders and Krishna carries them on their shoulders. Arjuna will not do that ever. Even though he's also a friend. So the friendship here of everybody in Raja and the Vatsalya, whatever, is different. Like Vasudeva and Devaki, they're also Vatsalya Rasa. But that is different from this mixed with Aishwarya. Mathura and Dwarka, they have all these things, but it is mixed. Even the queens of Dwarka are Madhurya Rasa also. But it is married and is also on reverence, mixed. But in Raja, all these things are pure. there's no mixture at all. It's all madhurya. Yeah. And the other thing is, there is a hierarchy. We have dasya, sakya, vatsalya, and madhurya. And like Lord Chaitanya explains, and Chaitanya Charitamrita did, it's like we have the elements, and we have ether, air, fire, water, and earth. And as we go progressively down to the grosser elements, down to earth, you get more qualities in it. Sound is the quality of ether, and then air has sound plus touch, and then fire has sound, touch plus form, and water has addition of taste to that with the other three, and then earth has all five: sound, touch, form, taste, and fragrance. Earth has everything in it. So that is like Madhurya Rasa has everything in it. And Vatsala has almost everything in it. And Sakya has a little less in it. And Dasya has a little less in it. In terms of the different bhavas and things like that. The elements of rasa are there. The five elements are always there in all the rasas. That is, bhavas, anubhavas, so vyabhichari bhavas, sattvika bhavas, sthayi bhava. All those elements are there. But the variety is just not so much, and the intensity is not so much. It's a step above that. Because impersonal, if we say sayujya, then it's not much of a relationship, because you don't see subject and object. There's nobody to love. Shanta, at least, there's a distinction between like Paramatma or Bhagavan and the person. But it is neutralness if we don't serve him directly. We respect, but we don't serve actively. So with Dasya, we accept him as our master, and we serve directly. We have a direct relationship. In one place, I've heard that they are more in the Shanta Rasa because it's not active. They don't have their own volition. When Krishna uses them, fine, but otherwise it's like Shanta Rasa. In the case of the flute, it may be a little special, though. But and like the trees and the things like that, and the grass, whatever, they just sit there. And then when Krishna comes, then fine, then they can serve Krishna in that way. Krishna can use them. So that's considered Shanta Rasa also, and by some persons I've seen. But that is a little different from the other Shanta Rasa, let's say, of the Gyanis, who are a little distant, and they have this, they just want to be peaceful, and then they approach Krishna and they have a Shanta Rati. A little bit different. Mercy. Yeah. Yeah, Shakti is and yeah.
And what about Mother Yashoda? The Divine is the source of Shakti.
Yeah. Yes, both of it. Doesn't say anywhere. It doesn't say like that. I would assume not, because it's a completely different mood. In other words, Radharani is a Hladini Shakti in the sense. Maybe we could say in that sense, because she is Hladini Shakti, and then all the inhabitants of Raja have Hladini Shakti also. But whether we can say she's the source of it or something, I don't know. Or whether they have a specific jurisdiction. I never heard of her having a specific jurisdiction, other than the fact that she is the Vatsalya Rasa incarnate and like that. And then, of course, Radharani is the Madhurya Rasa incarnate. But whether one comes from the other, whatever, I never heard that. Yeah, everything is included there. All Vatsalya Rasa and everything is included within that one Rasa. In that sense, we can say she's the source of everything, I guess. Yeah, obviously the taste is different. It's there, but it's obviously a different taste. Therefore, we divide them.
There are different personalities for
Oh, I haven't heard that. I don't know. Probably there is, because everything has personality in the spiritual world, looks like it. But, of course, the Shaktis of Krishna in the spiritual world are also infinite. For our understanding, it is simple by everything. Say, okay, there's Haladini Shakti and Samvit and Sandini Shaktis, like this. You know? And there's also 16 Shaktis, I think, in one place. 9 Shaktis, another place, are mentioned of the Supreme Lord. Then, of course, we can take all the 16,108 gopis and say it all are the queens of Dwarka. They represent Shaktis, or the gopis in the Rasa Lila also represent Shaktis also, which are in the billions. So, like that. But for simplicity's sake, they just, you know, put a few there. But I'm sure probably you will see further elaboration on the different Shaktis also in other places. Because we speak like Kripa Shakti, and Anugraha, that's the mercy Shakti, and then there's things like Pushti, Tushti, Shri, and other things like that also. So they're all represented by specific gopis in Krishna Lila and by Lakshmi forms, I think, in Vaikuntha also. They're related. We can't say anything comes from anything because everything's eternal. But they're all the influencer, they're presiding deity or whatever we can say.